Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Samech Aleph. We are holding on Daf Samech Amid Beis. We are at Rabbi Shimon Omer Es HaMincha, 7 lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, LaHashon, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Daniel Goldstein in honor of the 12th yahrzeit of his mother, June Goldstein, Sarah Chana Bas Mordechai Aryeh Aleha Shalom, which was yesterday, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And is also sponsored by Rina Septi Goldstein and Mark Goldstein in memory of Mo Septi, Moshe Ben Harav Elazar Shmuel, on the occasion of his yahrzeit, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to have a number of different drushos to include and exclude different karbanos from Hagasha, because we were talking about those things that require Hagasha but not Tanufa. So we're going to finish the discussion of Hagasha. Then the Mishnah Namad Aleph is going to give us the other three categories. Those things that require Tanufa but not Hagasha. Those things that require both Tanufa and Hagasha. Those that require neither Tanufa nor Hagasha. And then the Mishnah is going to end off by telling us that there are three different karbanos that each require two of the following three mitzvos: Smicha, Tanufa while it's alive, and Tanufa after it's shechted. So we're going to identify three different karbanos that each require a different two of that grouping of three. The Gemara is going to discuss how Tanufa was done with the karban asham and the log shemen of the mitzvah. They both require Tanufa. Is it simultaneous? Is it zeh achar zeh? Is it multiple times? The Gemara is going to tell us the various Tanaim who hold that you do Tanufa on Bikurim. Rabbi Shimon is one such Tana, but there are other Tanaim as well that hold that you do Tanufa on Bikurim. The Gemara is going to discuss Tanufa as it relates to women and as it relates to Nachrim. Do women do Tanufa? Do Nachrim do Tanufa? And it's going to tell us about Avadim Meshuchrarim and Gerim doing Tanufa. So that will bring us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin about 7 lines from the end of the page at Rabbi Shimon Omer. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Es HaMincha, it says Ve'eves Es HaMincha, L'Rab Shar Menachos. That tells me that other Menachos also require Hagasha. What are other Menachos? Kigon, Minchas Nachrim, Minchas Noshim, La Hagasha, a Mincha that's brought by a non-Jew or by a woman requires Hagasha. So Yachl Shani Marbaf Shtei Alechem Lechem Apadim. So I might think that it includes all Menachos, such as Shtei Alechem of Shavuos, the Lechem Apadim that we bring every single week, that it should also require Hagasha. Tamalomar Mei Eila. That's why it says May Eila, that is, not all menachos require Hagasha. Says Gemara, Mal Reisal Rabbel Shar Menachos Ulahotzi Yeshtei Alechem Lechem Apanim. What made you know to include other menachos and to exclude Shtei Alechem and Lechem Apanim? Well, Marbani Shar Menachos Sheish Mehen Leishim. We include other menachos because some of it gets burnt on the fire. The Kometz is burnt on the fire by most menachos, and in that sense, it's similar to the mincha about which the mitzvah of Hagasha is said in the Torah. But we exclude lechem apanim and shtei alechem because there's no part of the lechem apanim or shtei alechem that goes on the fire. All of it is eaten by kohanim. So therefore we know to exclude it from the mitzvah of Hagasha. So says Gemara, but wait just a second. If that's the criteria, v'alo minchas nesachim kula le'ishim, minchas nesachim gets entirely burnt on the fire, it does not have a kmitza that is taken from it, so yachl yetuna hagasha. So I would think that it would require hagasha, because we said any mincha that has even a part of it that goes l'ishim has hagasha. So minchas nesachim are not just a part, all of it goes l'ishim. So I would think for sure it requires hagasha. Tamalomer v'kriva. That's why it says v'kriva. No, it's only this and not some other carbon. So it's a miut, and that tells me that minchas nesachim is not included in the mitzvah of hagasha. Frankly, Gemara, but wait just a second. V'ha'apikte. Rabbi Shimon already used the word v'hikriva to tell me that minchas sota requires hagasha. How could he now use v'hikriva to tell me that minchas nesachim does not require Ragasha. Says Gemara, Vihikriv, Vihikriva. The reboy from Minchasota is the existence of that word, Vihikriv. The extra hay, Vihikriva, that only this and not something else, that extra hay tells me that Minchas Nesachim does not require Ragasha. Umal Reisal Rabbel Sharmanachos Ulotzi Minchas Nesachim. Okay, so I get it. There's a reboy in the Pasuk, there's a miut in the Pasuk, but how do you know to say that the reboy teaches me that Shar Menachos, yes, require Agasha, and that Minchas Nesachim does not require Agasha? So Gemara says quite simply, Marba Ani Shar Menachos, we include Shar Menachos, like the Minchas Nashim and the Minchas Chote, to say that they do require Agasha, because Shabaos Biklal Atzman, they are independent Karbanos, and therefore they're similar to the Karbanos about which the Torah says require Agasha. But Umotzi Ani Minchas Nesachim, Sheina Ba'a Biklal Atzma. But Minchas Nesachim is not an independent karban. It's brought along with other karbanos. Getting a little feedback. Yanki, if you could just mute yourself. We're getting just a little bit of noise. Yanki, you hear me? If you could just mute yourself. We're getting a little bit of noise on your end.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay. So, Umotzi Ani Minchas Nesachim, Sheina Ba'a Biklal Atzma. So we exclude Minchas Nesachim because it's not Ba'a Biklal Atzma. It doesn't come independently. It comes together with a Zevach. So ask the Gemara, V'alo Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Ba'os Biklal Atzman. Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach, they are brought independently. So Yachal Yutunas Hagasha. So I would think that they require Hagasha, meaning if that's the criteria, that anything that's its own independent carbon mincha needs Hagasha, so by that criteria, Minchas Kohen Mashiach also require Hagasha. Talmud Lomar, that's what the Pasuk says, Vihigisha is a miut, that Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach do not require Hagasha. Vihigisha means it, but not something else. And the not something else is the Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Frankly, Gemara, but Hami Baile Legufa, Shetuna Hagasha. What do you mean? That word Vihigisha is not extra. We need Vihigisha to tell me that Minchas Nedava require Agasha. So how could you be Mema'it Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach from that word Vihigisha? So says Gemara, the same answer we said before, Min Vihigish, Vihigisha, that Vihigish, the existence of the word tells me the din of Hagasha. The fact that you have the extra hey at the end, Vihigisha, that it's only this and not something else, that tells me that there's something excluded from Hagasha, namely the Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Now, what emerges in this Gemara, that Rabbi Shimon is Mima'et Minchas Nesachim from the hay of Vihikriva, Minchas Kohanim from the hay of Vihigisha. So the Tanna Kamma holds Minchas Nesachim does require Agasha, and that Minchas Kohanim rather does require Agasha, and Minchas Nesachim does not require Agasha. But that is now somewhat curious. Why is it, if they're both excluded from the letter hey at the end of a word, why would one yes, one not? Meaning, I understand very well Rabbi Shimon, he takes the word vehikriva and vehigisha, and he says both hey come to be mema'it something. But how could there be a Tana that says that Minchas Kohanim, yes, Hagasha, Minchas Nesachim, no Hagasha? Mimanavshach, either you darshan the hay or you don't darshan the hay. If you darshan the hay, you have two drushes to make. If you don't darshan the hay, you have zero drushes to make. How could it be one and not the other? So the Sfasemis explains that it could be because Vihikriva doesn't refer to Hagasha, and therefore you can't be mema'it. From Vihigisha, you could be mema'it something from Hagasha. But from Vihikriva, the Tanna Kamma holds that you cannot be Mema'it anything from Hagasha. So says Gemara, Mari Yisal Rabu Sharmanachos Lotzi Minchas Kohanim Minchas Kohen Mashiach. What led us to include other Menachos in Hagasha, and specifically to exclude the Minchas Kohanim Minchas Kohen Mashiach? Meaning, yes, there's a Miut in the Pasuk, but how do you know that the Miut is specifically about those Menachos? What is unique about those Menachos that they shouldn't require Hagasha? So Marbani Sharmanachos, the reason we include other menachos in our gasha is because sheish men leishim, there is part of it that gets burnt on the fire, namely the kmitza, uba'us beglal atzman, they are independent korbanos, they are not just nesachim that go along with a zevach, v'yesh mehen lekohanim, and some of it gets eaten by the kohanim, meaning namely the shirayim, after you take the komets, the shirayim gets eaten by kohanim, and in that sense, it's similar to the menachos about which the Torah says you do hagasha. But umotzi ani and therefore we know anything that doesn't have all those three qualities, we're going to exclude. So we'll exclude shtei lechem and lechem apanim, because there's no part of it that gets burnt on the fire. It all gets eaten by the kohanim. Minchas nesachim shein abal b'gal atzma. We're going to exclude minchas nesachim because it's not an independent carbon. It just comes along with a zevach. Minchas karm minchas mashiach shein mehen lekohanim. And minchas karm minchas mashiach is excluded because no part of it, ironically, gets eaten by kohanim. The only mincha that no part gets eaten by kohanim are the mincha of a kohen, minchas karm minchas kohen mashiach. It gets entirely burnt on the mizbeach. There is no shirayim that's eaten by kohanim. So that's how we know when there are miyutim in the pasuk to look to be memait those particular karbanos, the ones that don't fit all three criteria. So the parsha of Minchas Marcheshes then says veherim, that the kohen picks up Minchas Saskaras of Hikter Mizbech Yishariach Nichoch Lashem. So it's a reference to the kamitza, that he takes a section out of the mincha and that's what he burns on the mizbeach. That of course is the kometz. So Yachal Bakli, I might think that he should do that with a kli, that you don't do that with the bare hand. Talmud Lomer, that's why the pasuk says veherim imenu bikumtzo, that it says bikumtzo maharama amr la alon bikumtzo, just like that harama that it says in Perek Vav of Ayikra is bikumtzo afarama amr kan bikumtzo. So too by the Minchas Marcheshes in Perek Beis of Sefer Vayikra, when it says harama, it means bikumtzo, it means dafka with the komets and not with the kli. The Rashi writes that it's a limud of a gezerah shava, that harama is not with a kli, that there is some limud of a gezerah shava, Rashi says. So the Achronim point out, what do you mean, what's he telling me? The Gemara just says that there's a limud of a gezerah shava. The Gemara told us that it says veherim, of course. So they say Rashi must have not had this line in the Gemara, and he was mechavin to it, that there's some gezerah shava that teaches it. He must have not had this girsa in the Gemara right here. Now back on Daf Yotes, the Gemara brought a similar limud, but not exactly the same. It said melokumtzo bikumtzo. So the Gemara said shelo yasa midala kometz, that you're not supposed to make a measuring utensil that is that's supposed to approximate a kometz. So there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel whether this din is ma'akev or it's only a din lechachila. Similarly, in Yom Daf Mem Zayin, the same drasha is brought, and Rashi says that the drasha teaches us not to make a kli that approximates the size of your kometz to take the kmitz of the carbon mincha. Meaning there's a hava amina that each kohen will go and measure how much his kometz could hold, and then they will personalize a kli that holds exactly the amount of his kometz, and he'll have his personal kometz that he uses, a measuring cup of his own personal kometz that he uses. So kamash milan, that you don't do that, that it's done dafka biyad. Okay, so now new Mishnah. So the Mishnah moves on to discuss the other three categories. We discussed that which requires hagasha, but not tenufa. So elu tunos tenufa, ve'ein tunos hagasha. The following is a list of things that require tenufa, but not hagasha. It is a list, it does not seem to be an exhaustive list of things that require tenufa and not hagasha, because Tosfot points out it does not mention the zra b'sheila or the chalas matzah, the rakik of a nazir. Those all require tenufa and do not require hagasha. The Rashash asks the same kasha, and he says, and by the way, lach metoda also the Mishnah should have mentioned, and for some reason it doesn't mention. So there are things that for whatever reason are missing from this list, but it's still quite an extensive list. So the following things need tenufa but not hagasha: log shemen shal mitzora va'ashamo, the log shemen of the mitzora and the yashama mitzora, va'bikurim k'divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds bikurim is in that category, that it requires tenufa, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds bikurim need tenufa. Now bikurim are placed by the Keren Dromis Maravis of the Mizbeach. The Rambam Paskin Zilks bikurim paragimel based on Yerushalmi. So the Keren raises the question: how could the Mishnah list bikurim among those things that are not tuuna hagasha if it is supposed to be placed by the Keren Dromis Maravis of the Mizbeach? So must be, says the Keren Ora, that yes, we paskin that it's placed by the Keren Dromis Maravis of the Mizbeach, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't paskin that way. And we're saying that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it requires tenufa. He happens to be the one that holds, and it doesn't require agasha. Other Tanaim may say the opposite, that they require agasha and not tenufa. Ve'emuri shalme yachid, emuri shalme yachid require tenufa, v'chaz v'shok shalehen, and the chazah and shok of a shalmei yachid also requires tenufa and not agasha. Echad anoshim vechad anoshim b'Yisrael v'lo ba'acherim. Both a man's karban and a woman's karban require tenufa, but tenufa itself can only be done by Yisrael and not by ovdei kochavim, and the way Rashi learns, and not by nashim either. So when it comes to a karban nashim or a karban of a nachri, the kohen does the tenufa on their behalf. That is how Rashi is going to learn in Amud Beis, that karban nashim and karban nachrim are in the same category. So when we say over here, Echad Anoshim Vechad Anoshim Bi Yisrael V'lo Ba'acherim, we're saying that both Karbanos of Nashim and Nachrim, as well as Karbanos of Yisrael, require Tenufa, but the Tenufa is always done by a Kohen or by the Yisrael. It's never done by Nashim or Nachrim. In a Karban of an Isha or a Nachri, the Kohen is going to have to do Tenufa on their behalf. We're going to see later that Tosa says, no, Nashim and Nachrim are not the same. By a Karban Nashim, there's tenufa that's done by a kohen because a woman can't do the tenufa, but her karban requires tenufa. When we say v'lo ba'acherim, we're saying that a karban nachri doesn't require tenufa at all. So you don't need a kohen to do tenufa on the karban of a nachri. Okay, continuing the list, shtei alechem v'shnei kivsei atzeres. The shtei alechem and the shnei kivsei atzeres require tenufa and not hagasha. So ketzadu also, how do you do the tenufa with the shtei alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres? Remember, they accompany one another. Shtei Alechem go along with Kivsei Atzeres. Machlokas Tanoim, whether you could bring one without the other, whether you could bring a Shtei Alechem without the Kivsei Atzeres. So how do we do Tenufa with them? Nosin Shtei Alechem al Gabei Shnei Kvasim u'miniach Shtei Yadav L'mata. We do Tenufa with both of them simultaneously. We put the Shtei Alechem on the Kivsei Atzeres, and we hold our hands below both of them, Moluch Mevi Malu Morid, and we bring it forward and backward and up and down. So there are four lashonos of tenufa: hunaf, huram, vehinafta, and tenufa. To tell me that molich o mevi malu umorid, from what we did in the miluim, the carbon of the miluim, we learned that all other tenufos follow a similar pattern, that they all have the same basic halacha of tenufa. So it's interesting when it comes to it only mentions four directions, right? The Rabbi Yochanan is going to say later on in tomorrow's daf that Moluch Umevi Limisha Arbarucha Shalo Umalomor Limisha Shamayim Va'aret Shalo. That Moluch Umevi to the God who controls all Arbaruchos, Malumorid to symbolize that Hashem controls Shamayim Va'aret. But the B'marava Shanukach Moluch Umevi Kedei Latzor Ruchos Raos Malumor. And Rava comments, Kain ba lulav, that the same is by lulav. So Rashi writes that by lulav also, Moluch Umevi Malu Umorid. So there were many different minhagim in the times of the Rishonim, how exactly to do the nanuim of a lulav. We don't move a lulav in four directions, we move a lulav in six directions. Moluch Umevi Malu Umorid sounds like it's only four directions. It's because it says tenufa four times, and Rashi makes that link between lulav and tenufa. So the Rush writes in the name of the Bala Itur that minhag avosenu is to be moluch umevi mala umata alone. Halacha va'ava teaches us zal ruchas ha'olam belong to Hashem Yisbarach, because he who is moshel on shtei aruchos is moshel on all arba ruchos. And the Bala Itur writes that someone who's moluch to the tzafon l'darom as well, that's a das chitzonis, and halacha nava lekol dalar ruchos is only supposed to be b'machshava. You're only supposed to be moluch umevi in two of the directions, and you're supposed to think about all four directions when you're moluch umevi in two of the directions. The Rush writes that is not the minhag olam. We are moluch umevi lekol dalar ruchos, and he says it's a minhag kasher why would we not? Meaning, if we're meant to symbolize that all dalar ruchos ruchos are shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would we only be minaneya in two of the ruchos? And he says the minhag to be minaneya only to two of the ruchos, that's a minhag chitzoni. And he says probably the rishon that was noekach was thought that maybe ledal ruchos looks like you're making a shesi ve'erev. He says probably the reason that some had this minhag to only do two ruchos is because they thought if you do four ruchos, it looks like you're making a cross. So they don't want to make it look like you're making a cross at all. So that's probably where that came from. But we don't have to worry about it. We had the minhag first, and therefore we could be malach mevi and in all dalid ruchos. So it's an interesting discussion about the sensitivity of anything that even looks like one might be making a cross. In Orchos Rabbeinu, there's a story that the stipler was so makbid about a tzura of a shesive erev that one time he noticed that the telephone wires in his house, near his house in Bnei Brak, were sagging, I guess, or they weren't all the way at the top of the telephone poles, and it looked a little bit to him. So he wrote like a cross. So he wrote a letter to the telephone company, and they came and they fixed it. And it must have been dangerous. Also, I can't. It cost money to fix these things. But they listened and they did it because he was very sensitive to this thing. When we first built this building, there were exposed beams, and someone came in and said it looked like there was like a cross. So Baruch Hashem, there's no exposed beams anymore. It doesn't look like a cross anymore. Okay, so that is Tanufa. Where are we up to? Yeah, so says Gemara, Tanufa Isa B'Mizrach. The Mishnah continues that the Tanufa was done, can be done even in the eastern side of the Azara, not only in the western side of the Azara, which you would think is more Lifnei Hashem, and therefore it must be done there. Not so. It could be done even in the eastern side. V'Hagasha B'Mariv. And the Hagasha was in the western side of the Azara. By Milchas Sota, which required Tanufa and Hagasha, Tanufos called Mos Hagashos. The Tanufos come before the Hagashos. The Sfasemis is not sure. What if you did Hagasha before the Tanufa? Do you then need to do Hagasha again afterwards? Meaning, is this Ma'akev that the Hagasha has to be after the Tanufa? Okay, now we continue. Milchas Om, Milchas Kanaos, Tunos, Hagasha U Tanufa. As far as which Kabbalos require both Tanufa and Hagasha, it's the Milchas Omer and the Milchas Sota. Lechem Apanim U Milchas Nesachim, Ein Tunos, Lo Hagasha, Velo Tanufa. The Lechem HaPanim and the Milchas Nesachim get neither Tanufa nor Hagasha. And now the Mishnah moves on to a different topic. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosh Aminim, Shalosh Mitzos, Shtayim B'Kal Achas V'Achas, U'Shlish Shesein Ben. That there are three different Karbanos, that among the following list of three mitzvos, two of these three mitzvos are going to apply to each of these three Karbanos, but it's a different two mitzvos that apply to each of the three Karbanos. What are the three Karbanos? Vein Oein, Ziv And the mitzvos in question are smicha, tenufas chayim, and tenufas shchutim. So zivchei shalma yachid, tunim smichas chayim, utenufas shchutim. The zivchei shalma yachid require that you do smicha on it while the animal is alive, and you do tenufa after the animal is shechted. But vein ben tenufa chayim. There is no waving of the animal while it's alive. Zivchei shalma tzibur, you do tenufa on it both when it's alive and after it's shechted, but vein mem smicha. But it's carbon sibur. There's no smicha by a carbon sibur, and therefore it doesn't get smicha. Va'asham mitzora ta'un smicha utenufa chay vein bo tenufa shachut. But an asham mitzora gets smicha and it gets tenufa while it's alive, but it does not get tenufa when it is shachut. Okay, so we'll come back to that much later. But first, the Gemara is going to discuss the first half of the Mishnah. So how do they do the tenufa by the asham mitzora and the log shemen of mitzora? Those two are associated with one another. So is it two separate tenufos? Is it one tenufa? Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. V'ikrivo sol Hashem ves log Hashem and v'heinifosam tenufa. So malami shetun tenufa kechad. Sounds like it's osol Hashem and the log Hashemen that you do tenufa with all at the same time. That the Hashem and the log Shemen together. Uminayin shem heiniv zeh be'atzmo v'zeh be'atzmo yatzah. How do I know that if you do each one separately, you're Yotzei, the Asham separately and the Log Shemen separately, you're Yotzei? Tamalomar Vikravosol La'asham Vehenif. It says Vikravosol La'asham Es Log Shemen Vehenif. So from the fact that it says Vehenif B'Lashon Yachid, right next to the words Log Hashemen, you see that the Log Hashemen alone can have a tenufa, and that counts for something. So just like the Log Hashemen alone can have a tenufa, the Asham can have a tenufa alone, and therefore you could be Yotzei them separately. Yachol Yanif Yachsav Yanif. I might think that after you're Mainif both of them together, you should be Mainif each of them separately as well, and that's why it says B'Lashon Yachid at the end to tell me a second requirement of tenufa, not either or, but maybe both. Maybe you need to do tenufa of both of them plus tenufa of each of them separately. Tamlomer tenufa below tenufos. That's why the pasuk says tenufa and not tenufos. The Torah should have said veinif osam. From the fact that it says the tenufa, we see that they're both munaf b'tenufa achas, that they both are waved at the same time, and in that way you fulfill the mitzvah entirely. Now, from the fact that it says that the tenufa was in the mizrach of the asara, it sounds like lefnei Hashem b'mizrach, that lefnei Hashem is fulfilled in the mizrach of the asara, even though the heichal and the kodesh hakodashim are in the ma'arav, because by tenufa it says lefnei Hashem, and nevertheless we said in our mishnah it's done on the eastern side of the asara. Frek the gemara, but is that so? V'ha'amrit, but when it comes to the hagasha of menachos lefnei Hashem, it says lefnei Hashem yachol b'marav. I might think that it's b'marav of the mizbech that you need to be magish, because lefnei Hashem is always b'marav. So how can you say that tenufos are b'mizrach? So Amri, so they answered, Hani Mili, that which lefnei Hashem is b'marav is mincha dikri chatas. That's only by a mincha, because a mincha is called the chatas, v'chatas tun yisod. And chatas, the shiari adam of a korban chatas, needs to be poured on the yisod of the mizbeach. V'keren dromis mizrachis lo hayilo yisod, and the southeastern corner of the mizbech didn't have a yisod. So by the agasha of the mincha lefnei Hashem, that has to be done in the marav, that has to be done in the west, because you need a agasha in a place that has a yisod. But it's not enough that it be a place that it has a yisod. It also needs to be the southern part of the mizbech, because the pasuk says al pnei mizbech, and the pnei mizbech is in the south. So it has to be the lefnei Hashem, which is b'marav, and it has to be a pnei mizbech, which is the darom. So it's my Ravis Dromus of the Mizbeach. But it cannot be the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, because there was no Yisod. Aval Hacha, but by Tenufa, where you don't need Yisod, Lefnei Hashem Karina Bay. So the Mizrach is also called the Lefnei Hashem, and therefore Tenufa can be done in the Mizrach. So when it comes to Chatos and a Mincha, which is Ikri Chatos, you need to balance both requirements of being Lefnei Hashem, you know, and Pnei HaMizbech. But over here, you only need Lefnei Hashem, and you don't need Pnei HaMizbech. Okay. V'abikurim k'divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We then said in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Bikurim also required Tenufa. So my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we find that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds this about Bikurim? Titania, we have a brisa that darshins the parsha of Bikurim. It says, V'laka ha-kohen, that the kohen takes the basket from your hands and he puts it in front of the Mizbech. So limed al bikurim shetun in tenufa divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you see from there that the bikurim required tenufa. My time at Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov see from there that it requires tenufa? Didn't say the word tenufa. It just says v'lakach ha'kohen atenem yadecha v'nichol v'nei mizbach Hashem elokecha. Where is tenufa in that pasuk? So gomar yad yad mishlamim. It's a gzer shava. It says v'lakach ha'kohen atenem yadecha. So it says yad k'sifach v'lakach ha'kohen atenem yadecha. It says Yadav Tiviena. So Mal Khan, just like by Bikurim, it's Kohen. The Tenufa is done by a Kohen because it says Vlakacha Kohen Atenami Yadecha. Safla Alon. So too the Tenufa of the Shlomim is Kohen. Umal Alon. And what we learn from Shlomim to here is that just like by Shlomim, it's Bailim. The Tenufa is done by the Bailim. Afkan Bailim. So to the Bikurim, the Tenufa is done by the Bailim. Well, wait just a second. How can Tenufa be be done both by the Bailum and by the Kohen if there's only one Tanufa. HaKetzad, how do you pull off such a trick to do Tanufa by the Kohen and by the Bailum, and yet it's only one Tanufa? So quite simply, the Gemara says, Kohen maniach yado tachasidei Bailum umeinif. The Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the Bailum, and together they wave it, and therefore they are both doing the Tanufa. The Rishonim all ask the question, well, wait just a second, if they both have to do Tanufa, and the Kohen's hands are under the hands of the Bailum, so then there's a chatzitza between the Kohen's hands and that which requires the Tanufa, the Bikurim, which required the Tanufa, the basket that requires the Tanufa, and a chatzitza should passel. So how does that work? So three different approaches in the Rishonim. Rashi writes that Tanufas Kohen, we don't care about a chatzitza, because the Iker Tanufa is really Bebailim. The Kohen is just an add-on, which is not the mashmos over here. It sounds like this is a gzera shava that is a two-way street, and that the Kohen is also has a real requirement of Tanufa. Tosfos writes that no, when we say the Kohen puts his hands under the hands of the Bailim, it doesn't mean that the Bailim's hand is here and the Kohen's hand is on the Bailim's hand, holding the Bailim's hand from underneath. It means the Bailim's hand is on the side of the Kli, and the Kohen's hand is on the bottom of the Kli. So they're both touching the Kli directly, just the Bailim is holding it from the side, and the Kohen is holding it from the bottom, and therefore there's no chatzitza whatsoever. And Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lam says he's not bothered by any of this because it's a gzeres hakasuv that the way they do the tenufa is that the Kohen and the Bailim are supposed to do it together. So if that's a gzeres hakasuv, that that's the way you're supposed to do it, so then it's not a chatzitza. It's only a chatzitza if that's not the way you're supposed to do it. A chatzitza is when you have a foreign substance in between the item, in between your hands and the item you're supposed to be holding. If it's not a foreign substance, it's native to this mitzvah, it's the way this mitzvah is supposed to be done. So then that's not considered a chatzitza. Okay, says Gemara Velema Nami Kedivra Rabbi Yehuda. We made a big deal that it's Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov who says that Bikurim required Tanufa. It's not only Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that Bikurim required Tanufa. How come we don't identify Rabbi Yehuda as also a Tana that says that Bikurim required Tanufa? After all, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vihinachto Zo Tanufa. It says, Vihinachto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. He says, that's Tanufa. So Atomer Zo Tanufa Enu El Anacha. How do you know that's tenufa? Vinachta sounds like it's hanacha, it's not tenufa. So Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-kohen ha-ten mi-yadecha, v'hi nicho, l'fnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha, harei hanacha amur, it already said hanacha. Ha-ma ani mekayim v'hi nachto, zo tenufa. The fact that it mentions hanacha twice teaches me once for hanacha and once for tenufa. So bottom line is, we have a question that the Mishnah made a big deal that it's Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov who says that the Bikurim required tenufa. Not only Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, how come we don't mention Rabbi Yehuda? He also beferish holds that the Bikurim required Tanufa. And so Gemara, Amrava hol Pasuk pa'akasuv t'chila. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov's drasha is earlier in the Pasuk. It's v'lokach ha-kohen ha-tena mi-yadecha. And that comes before v'hinicho. So the Tana chooses Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. The problem with that answer is that you didn't have to choose one or the other. You could have mentioned both, right? You could have mentioned that Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, that Bikurim Kedivri Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov v'Rabbi Yehuda. So why would you only mention one of them? So the Gemara says a second answer. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Omer Hol v'Rav Guvrei. The Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is the greater Talmud Chacham. So we always, when we can quote something from him, we'd rather quote something from him. The Gemara in Ervin says the Mishnah Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is Kav v'Naki. Rashi writes it means that there's Kav means a very small amount of places, like a small measure. That Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov doesn't come up that many places in Shas, but Naki is that whenever it does come up, we always pass him like it, meaning whenever Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says something, it's very authoritative. So he was very selective in what he spoke about, but when he did speak, it was he went through it so clearly in his mind that he made sure that it was pristine, that it was perfect, and therefore we always prefer Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. So Ve'imuri Shal Yachad V'Chaz V'Shok Shalan Echara Anoshim Ve'Echara Anoshim B'Yisrael. So we had said in the Mishnah that the Amuri Shalom Yachr, Chaz V'Shok Shalan, men and women, Yisrael, but not Acherim. So my Kamar, what does that mean? The way Rashi learns the phrase, my Kamar can mean anything. Meaning, what do you mean? What does that mean? So the way Rashi learns the question is, the Mishnah first says, Echad Anashim ve'Echa Nashim, that both men and women are included in Tanufa. And then it says, Tanufa doesn't apply to Karban of Acherim, which sounds like we're excluding Nashim. So what is it about Nashim? Do Nashim do Tanufa? Do Karbanos of Nashim get Tanufa or not? Because first you say yes, and then you said that Acherim are excluded, and presumably Nashim are Acherim. So Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, Echad Anashim ve'Echa Nashim, Karbanon ta'un Tanufa. Utnufa atzma bi Yisrael lava lo bidei nashim. The way that it's telling us is that both karbanos, men's karbanos and women's karbanos, require tenufa. Who does the tenufa? Only men actually do the act of tenufa, but the karbanos of both men and women require tenufa. That is how Rashi learns. The kasha is a little bit difficult. Why can't you say that nashim are like anashim in the midst of tenufa when it says b'yisrov lo b'acher? It might just be referring to akum, that akum don't require tenufa. So what kind of question? What does acher mean if it doesn't mean nashim? What do you mean, what does Acher means goyim. Nashim are Jewish people. So why is that so difficult? So how do you know? Why did the Gemara think in its kasha that acher must mean nashim? So the Rashash explains that the Gemara's kasha is that since it says b'nei Yisrael, and whenever it says b'nei Yisrael, we always darshin v'lo b'nos Yisrael. So how could it be that there's tenufa of a carbon of nashim? That's really what the Gemara is driving at. Okay, Tan Rabban. So we have a brisa that elaborates on this. B'nei Yisrael, so we darshan menifin vein of the chav menifin, that b'nei Yisrael do the tenufa, but of the chav cannot do tenufa. B'nei Yisrael menifin vein anashim menifos. B'nei Yisrael do tenufa, women do not do tenufa. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, matzino shechalak hakasav bein karban Yisrael, the karban of the chavim, the karban nashim b'smicha. We find that a karban of a Yisrael requires smicha, but a karban of an isha or an ovid chavim does not require smicha. So yachal nachluk b'tenufa, I might therefore say that legabe tenufa we should make the same chiluk and say that only a carbon of a Yisrael requires tenufa, but a carbon of nashim and carbon of the chavim do not even require tenufa at all. So lo, we cannot say that. Mali chalak b'smicha shasmicha bebailim nachluk b'tenufa shetenufa b'kohanim. It makes sense to say that a carbon nashim or a carbon akum doesn't require smicha because the people who are supposed to do the smicha are the bailim of the carbon. They're the ones that are supposed to do the smicha, whereas tenufa is performed by Kohanim. So you're not going to exclude a carbon that belongs to a woman or a carbon that belongs to a Nachri from Tanufa, because the carbon could still require Tanufa and you could still do it by having a Kohen do it. But if that's the case, if we say that we're not excluding a carbon of Nashim, we're not excluding a carbon of the Chum from Tanufa, why does the Pasuk say B'nai Yisrael? So the Brisa answers, B'nai Yisrael comes to tell me that carbon of the Chum and carbon Nashim do require tenufa, but b'nei Yisrael menifin, vein of the chav menifin, b'nei Yisrael menifin, vein of nashim menifos. That b'nei Yisrael do the tenufa, of the chav do not do the tenufa. B'nei Yisrael do the tenufa, nashim do not do the tenufa. So this is, like we said, Rashi holds that a carbon akum requires tenufa. It's just that it's done al yidei a kohen, look just like a carbon nashim. That Rashi holds, there's no chiluk between a carbon nashim and a carbon akum. They both require tenufa, but neither of those parties are eligible to do the act of tenufa. Tosos quotes a different pshat, that the nidon in the sugya is to be mechalik between nashim on the one hand and akum on the other hand. And the maskana is that karban nashim requires tenufa, but they just can't do it, the kohen has to do it, whereas a karban akum doesn't require tenufa at all. So Tosos explains that there must be, what the girsa must be in our gemara in order to make that work. Now this drasha, b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael, comes up in the following context in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Yudalid that tzitzis that are made by a guy are pasul, because it says daber el b'nei Yisrael. So that tells me that b'nei Yisrael and not akum. But if isha makes tzitzis, then it's kosher. And the Rama says yesh mechmirim that men have to make tzitzis, and tov lasos kein lechadchila that only men should make tzitzis, that women should not make tzitzis. Asks the Magen Avraham, how can the Shulchan Aruch say that a woman can make tzitzis? Whenever it says b'nei Yisrael, we always darshin b'nei Yisrael Yisrael velo benos Yisrael. So shouldn't it exclude Nashim the same way it excludes Nachrim? And in fact, that goes by Monios, quotes from Rutenberg, that if women make tzitzis, it's possible because it says b'nei Yisrael. And the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, that's why the Rama says that there are those that are machmir. It doesn't answer the question, though, because Shulchan Aruch is mekil, and even the Rama says, tov l'charchila, but b'dievet, it works. What happened to b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael? So Rabbi Kiveger, on that Magen Avraham quotes a Mizrahi who says that B'kala Torah Kula, when it says B'nai Yisrael, we are not Mima'it B'nos Yisrael, because Hishva Kasav Yishal Yishal Kol Dinim Shabbat Torah. We always assume, unless there's a reason to believe otherwise, that for all Dinim in the Torah, women are the same as men. And even though B'nai sounds like it's the Ma'it Banos, but the Hekish counteracts that and teaches us that Nashim are included. What about the fact that we say B'nai Aaron velo benos Aaron? He says that's because the whole phrase b'nei Aaron is extra. That which we darshan in kiddushin v'limadim osam es b'neichem velo benoseichem. That's because the word b'neichem is not talking about the one who's mitzuva in the mitzvah, which is the father. It's talking about who you have to teach. So on that, you could say that it's only b'neichem velo benoseichem. But whenever it's ishvah kasav ishlish lekol mitzvah shabatora, whenever it's about who is mitzuva, then it's always the women as well. What about our sugya where we say about Tanufa, that it's B'nai Yisrael v'lo B'nos Yisrael? He says, because over here, it can't mean, it can't be that Banim V'hu Adin Banos, because it's a Mitzvah Shazman Grama, and women are part of Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Meaning, when you're at the default, where the default is that Ishva Kas V'ishalish L'kol Mitzvah Shabbat Torah, then B'nai Yisrael is not exclusionary of B'nos Yisrael. And that's why by Tzitzis, B'nos Yisrael are kosher, according to the Shulchan Aruch, to make Tzitzis. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanya Idach. Everyone have a good day and a good Shabbos.